We got breaking news. Letitia James faces a DOJ investigation over her Trump targeting.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you. It's Friday, 1-800-684-3110. I'm very happy we made it to the weekend. Well, we obviously have breaking news that continues to haunt us. And of course, these are similar names that you've been hearing for years and years and years. We're also going to talk about the media change that's happened recently. Obviously, Stephen Colbert, you know about that. What was going to be the fallout from that? Well, what has happened recently is some pretty big backpedaling by some of the biggest companies, some of the biggest media companies, including last night. I'll just bring it up right up front. Tonight, on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, the guests were Good Charlotte, the Jonas Brothers, and Greg Gutfeld. And it was a very funny, non-political discussion promoting his show. This is the day and age we're at right now where maybe it's scrambling or maybe it's someone finally in charge saying we have to appeal to everyone. No more of this appealing to half the country. And there's a lot of conversations we can have about that breaking down. But Will, we want to open up with the breaking news story today, which is that there's more news now as it looks like Letitia James is under investigation, and they'll be opening a grand jury investigation against Letitia James.
That's right. So we talked a while back about Letitia James having some issues with a mortgage issue where there was claiming something was her primary residence, getting favorable loan terms when that was out of the state where she was the attorney general. But this isn't related to that investigation where there was a referral to the FBI. This is the Department of Justice that has opened a grand jury investigation into how she handled that civil fraud case that she brought against President Trump during the last election cycle. Remember, this is the one that had Ed, the judge that had the funny like smile for the camera. He allowed the cameras to come in at the beginning and ended up giving, after they got a conviction against President Trump, a fine of nearly $500 million.
Roughly $500 million.
So now what they're looking at is whether or not she violated the civil rights of President Trump with her investigation. This stems back from all the statements she made while running for the Attorney General of New York, where she said, I'm going to get him. I'm going to go after him. I'm going to be his worst nightmare. Things of that nature. And then bringing this civil fraud case where a lot of it was whether or not the valuation of Mar-a-Lago when it was being used as collateral to secure business loans was the right amount. And then they threw a $500 million fine on President Trump. But what it appears this is going to be under is an investigation into whether Letitia James violated 18 U.S.C. 242, which is a deprivation of rights under the color of law. And this statute is when anyone in a law enforcement position, whether it be an attorney general, whether it be police, it's a very broad statute as far as who this could apply to, uses their position to deprive someone of their constitutional rights. So what we know is they have already subpoenaed the office of Letitia James. That's being widely reported now. The New York Times even had an article out about it. So it must be true at that point. But what we will see is how far this will go in trying to correct the wrongs of the lawfare of the left that we saw play out over the last few years.
If you got questions or comments about this, I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. And like I said, also, we're going to discuss the media and how the media has backpedaled majorly in the support of not just, I wouldn't say conservatives, I would say of all Americans, middle Americans. We were even listening to some really interesting podcasts today from some of the top executives from iHeart. We're saying, you know, we know where the numbers are coming from. We know what people care about. We've done the research, and the research says what they're most afraid of is what most people will never be offended of. The military and their religious beliefs and church. Now, will one of these big advertisers show a pastor in the pulpit? No, but that's ridiculous. And this is what this commentator had to say. We're going to discuss that, though. Of course, the Jimmy Fallon situation and more, including Gina Carano from The Mandalorian. You remember she sued Disney many years ago. There is a resolution to that, and it is pretty wild. And it's a big moment. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. We want to hear from you. Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Got a lot of lines open because we just opened them up. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us in the back half of the show, so you're not going to want to miss that. But Will, let's talk about this breaking news, and we need to restate it for the people who are just joining us right now, and that is that the DOJ, the Department of Justice, sources are saying, is a grand jury investigation into Letitia James, which obviously ties into the whole Trump allegations that came out over the last few years. These are names, like I said, I wish that we could forget, but somehow we can't. Now, of course, Trump, people that are against this administration are saying, look, this is using, including the lawyers of Letitia James, saying essentially this is playing not only politics, but this is playing personal with politics, with your power.
Right. So there's kind of a catch-22 for the administration, if you think about this, is that what the left did to President Trump is they weaponized the government and law enforcement against him. They used lawfare against him to try to stop him from being elected president of the United States. And that stems way back even to the Russia probe, where they were trying to weaponize the government and law enforcement against the president-elect and then president of the United States. So the catch-22, though, is do you let all those wrongs slide and just be like, we're not going to go after it, we won, we move on? Or do you hold people accountable for misusing the system? But when you do that, that gives the opportunity for the left to cry foul and say, look, he's weaponizing, he's going after people that went after him. So it puts you in this odd situation when in reality, what they did was wrong. They used the law enforcement agencies, the intelligence agencies, elected state officials, went after President Trump because he was President Trump. And they tried to find anything they could to go after him. So Letitia James was a part of this. Alvin Bragg out of Manhattan was a part of this. All of these people, you go down to Fani Willis in Georgia, they all tried to find their own way to get him. And in this case, for the Attorney General of New York, she went and did a civil fraud case against the president's businesses and got into details saying he overvalued properties, which gave him loans that were more favorable than he would have gotten if they were undervalued or different valued. And the banks didn't complain.
Right. The bank said he never defaulted, never had an issue, never had a problem.
But they said, continued to do business with him.
So even if that was true, that was the case, it was essentially a victimless crime. If you could say if it was even a crime at all, I don't believe it is, because some of the numbers they were throwing out, I remember, were ridiculously low. But she's been going after him. This has been a name that's been in this since, what, 2018? I mean, there's been a number of years at this point. It's exhausting.
Well, we have a supercut of all the times she said that she wanted to go after President Trump. This is when she's running for office in New York. And so we should play that to remind people that she promised she was going to go after him before she had any evidence of that, because she was not the Attorney General of New York. She gets elected and then does exactly what she says she was going to do. So let's run that bite five right now.
I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president when our fundamental rights are at stake. I believe that the president of these United States can be indicted for criminal offenses.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the ass. He said, I know my name personally.
That man in the White House. Who can't go a day without threatening our fundamental rights.
Yes, we need to focus on Donald Trump and his abuses. We need to follow his money. We need to find out where he's laundered money. We need to find out whether or not he's engaged in conspiracy.
It's important that everyone understand that the days of Donald Trump are coming to an end.
I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
So she had made up her mind before she was even in that position of authority.
So exhausted for a Friday, guys.
Was going to find out where he's laundered money. She's already convicted him in her mind before having the resources to follow that down. We need to find out whether or not he's engaged in conspiracy. Has already convicted him in her mind before even being in office. And the list goes on. So why is that important? Well, we know that was lawfare. She got a position and used that position of authority to go after the sitting president of the United States and then the former president of the United States, and finding a way finally to take him to court in a very favorable jurisdiction and getting that huge historic judgment against him. And that was a part of a puzzle, a mosaic, if you will, across the country of elected officials doing very similar things, trying to bring him down. Now, where this could, the investigation could follow, according to these sources, is that they're investigating whether or not there's a violation of what appears to be 18 U.S.C. 242, which is deprivation of rights under color of law, which says, whoever under color of law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or to different punishments, pains, or penalties on account of such person being an alien or by reason to his color, race, then are prescribed for the punishments of these crimes, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for not more than 1 year or both. So they are looking at this, and this is a statute that is used against law enforcement if there is suspected racial bias or something on a low level, all the way up to elected officials in these positions of power if they're abusing their office.
There's not limits on them, but it's not particularly what they've been used for.
Well, it has been used in a broad way.
Yeah.
But one, it hasn't been used this way because we've also never seen an attorney general of the United States go after a former president in the way that she did. Now, as the other side says, oh, look, he's weaponizing it, going after his enemies. I think the Department of Justice trying to seek accountability and see if these things went too far. We know they did. It was lawfare. And we've said we need that to stop in this country. The only way you're going to stop it is by hunting this down and seeing if you can bring charges and get a conviction.
I want to take a call that's related to this, and hopefully it'll spur you to call in as well. 1-800-684-3110. We got a few lines open. Let's go to Deborah, who's calling in Oregon on line three. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, and for all you do, and especially for what you've done against abortion, I will always be grateful. But Letitia James deserves to be investigated, and I'm very glad that she is being so. And now it's her turn to come to an end rather than President Trump.
Well, and Deborah, as you mentioned being investigated, this is the second investigation of Letitia James. There is that other investigation the FBI is conducting that came from a criminal referral from a different branch of government, where it appears that she, you know how they love to say no one's above the law. They always seem to say that about their political enemies, but then are doing things that make you think they think they're above the law, such as getting favorable loan terms.
They are the law.
By claiming a primary residence out of the state that she is the sitting attorney general for, and doing multiple things when it comes to lying on applications. At one point, and this one would be outside the statute of limitations, the mortgage regulator said that she even claimed her father was her husband on one mortgage back in the 80s to get more favorable terms. The very thing that she went after President Trump for, which was saying you falsified documents to get better loan terms, is exactly what she's now being investigated for doing herself by buying a house in Norfolk, Virginia, saying that was her primary residence when she was the attorney general, which by law, she's either violating New York law not being able to be attorney general because you have to be a resident there, or violating mortgage law by lying on her mortgage application to get a more favorable term.
Yeah.
Whenever they point the finger and say, you're doing this, 9 times out of 10, it seems like they're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, we got one line open. I want to hear from you. 1-800, two lines now. 1-800-684-3110. Stay on hold. We'll get to Fred. We'll get to you next coming up when we get back, because Fred is an ACLJ champion. An ACLJ champion gets bumped to the front of the line when they call in. Why is that? That is because they've decided to support the ACLJ on a monthly recurring basis. That gives us an incredible baseline to set our budgets, to know our goals, to be able to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And we can do that with the over 20,000 of you who have decided to become ACLJ champions. You can do that at any level financially. I'm going to encourage you to do it right now, because if you do it right now, there is another champion or donor ready to unlock your first donation and to match it with a pledge gift. So right now, let's say you decide, I want to become a $20 a month ACLJ champion. Great. Well, for this month, there's another person out there who's going to match that $20. And all of a sudden, your donation is doubled. And then, of course, you'll be charged only $20 and then $20 until you decide to opt out. Hopefully you never do. But we appreciate it because we're in those 35 years of victory right now. We're going to be hearing from some of the people who have had victories through within the ACLJ world over those last 35 years. It's going to be a lot of fun when we can play some of those clips and have some of those guests on, because it's always good to hear from them, the real American people who have dealt with this. Of course, we have been representing everyone from the individual just wants to have a Bible club all the way up to the President of the United States. I encourage you right now, though, to not only give us a call, not only subscribe on YouTube, but take a minute, if you can, if you like this broadcast, if you like what we do in the courts, and subscribe and donate right now. If you become an ACLJ champion, you can scan the QR code that's on your screen right now, and your donation will be doubled. Again, we are celebrating 35 years. It's very important to us to keep that going. As 35 years of victory, we want that also to be 35 more years of victory. So go to ACLJ.org, scan the QR code that's on your screen, and we'll be right back. Secular, we did want to talk a bit about the move in the media. Now, if you're online right now, if you're on hold right now, we are going to continue the conversation about Letitia James and everything throughout the show. Let's actually go ahead. I'm going to take your call, Fred, because I said you, I would. An ACLJ champion that someone gives on a monthly basis. Fred, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. My only point is that, and I don't think Trump is really a vengeful person, but if he doesn't do something to these people that have screwed him over, then what's going to stop either the left or the right from going after the next guy that gets in there and doing the same?
You bring up an interesting point, Fred. Now, do I think he maybe holds some grudges here and there? I think we can probably safely assume that President Trump does that over the time. He's still mad about certain people saying certain things from decades ago.
Well, and to be honest, Fred, though, I mean, one, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, if this administration doesn't bring accountability to people that weaponized our system in order to go after political opponents, then yes, it degrades the system. And when you also think about, here's what the difference is. In the previous administration and these actors that were state officials and other things, it was the individual themselves that were saying, I'm going to go after Trump. And then they did it. They had the authority to go into that position. This isn't President Trump making an announcement from a press conference saying, I authorize the investigation into Letitia James. This is the Department of Justice, led by Pam Bondi, using the appropriate mechanisms of the Department of Justice to look into potential crimes and using the process, going through a grand jury investigation, issuing subpoenas to the office of Letitia James, or taking the criminal referrals from other agencies. This isn't President Trump, holding the marionette strings, moving it along. These are capable, accomplished people that know where to look and have a record of securing victories against corruption, and that's what they're doing right now. So, yes, the left will say President Trump is ordering this on his enemies, but I think that's also a misunderstanding of how this works.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I appreciate you calling in about this. We will take more calls about it later on, but we did want to move on with the topic a bit today because we have seen this mass move happen. This is something that I follow very closely as someone that's a member of the media, has been part of the media landscape for the last 20-plus years. I always am following what's going on, where the trends are. And we saw a big movement just a couple weeks ago as Stephen Colbert in The Late Show, which has been a staple since the 90s, since David Letterman's era, on CBS from the Ed Sullivan Theater, was abruptly canceled. Now, a lot of people claimed politics for that. And I was actually kind of quick to say, I'm sure there is some political tie to this, but it also didn't help that Stephen Colbert had recently went after his own network for what he was saying, was essentially bowing down to President Trump. But you also had a situation where it cost so much money to have a system, to have a show like that with hundreds of employees, when we live in a very different time. And if those companies aren't willing to adjust to the time, they're going to continue to lose money. Now, what's happened has been a pretty strong rebuke from a lot of major media outlets to now try to look at embracing what it is to find not only a conservative fan base, but a fan base that just doesn't want to be preached at all the time. And this happened last night. I think one of the biggest signs I have ever seen, which is on The Tonight Show on NBC with Jimmy Fallon. Someone who, by the way, I got to give it to Jimmy. When his show first launched, was pretty apolitical. It was, he took shots at both sides, but it was very much in the Leno Carson style. Then as his ratings started to slip to Stephen Colbert, he became much more political, much more hostile to conservatives to try to compete. Because look, Colbert is number one. Now we are seeing it back up, and maybe there's a relief for Jimmy Fallon, because last night his guests not only included Good Charlotte and the Jonas Brothers, it also included Fox News, probably most controversial figure, who at this point is beating all of them in the ratings, late night talk show host Greg Gutfeld. And just seeing that graphic pop up was a reminder that we are living in a very different time. And if you don't think that that is a direct response to what is happening to Stephen Colbert, your head's in the sand. Because that was wild.
Well, and Logan, the fact that we know that Greg Gutfeld's ratings are better than those shows, he's the number one rated late night show. The fact that they're having on a competitor that's beating them from Fox News tells me the producers, the bookers, the people that are in charge over there said, we got to get some of that audience.
Yeah, and intentionally treating him kind.
Let's bring on the person who's beating us, because maybe we can get some of that audience.
Yeah. I mean, it had me watch.
Right.
I watched live Jimmy Fallon for the first time, like live when it was airing.
Right.
For the first time, and I cannot tell you how long. Look, I'm a fan of that format. I'm sad to see it go. I do think it's a dated format. But that being said, it did get me to turn it on, because I go, what's going to happen here? Unlike if it was on, though, I feel like Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel or any of the other hosts, to be honest, Seth Meyers, you would have felt that tension in the room. But Jimmy Fallon, got to give it up for him. Treated him with respect. It was all comedy. It was all family stories. It was all stories of their reckless youth. And it was a blast to watch, because you forget that is what the American people actually want. This also now comes on the heels of the Walt Disney Company. Lucasfilm, essentially, has finally settled their lawsuit with Gina Carano, who was, if you remember, one of the co-stars on their biggest show on Disney Plus, The Mandalorian, one of my personal favorites. She played Cara Dune, a great character, who abruptly was fired after season two because of some of the posts she made on social media that were questioning many things during COVID. She also made some, I'd say, some controversial, maybe conservative leaning, but even some more alt, you know, conservative statements. But in general, was making no worse statements than even the lead actor, Pedro Pascal, was making on the other side. And people like Pedro Pascal, by the way, and some of these other people who are involved in the show came out in support of her at the time. But she was fired. They then sued. They went into multiple years lawsuit. Right. And today they announced that they have settled that lawsuit. And I want to read you the statement. Again,
it's unbelievable.
Think about this as coming from the Walt Disney Company. And again, I have to say, just like with Jimmy Fallon, good for you. Good for you, Walt Disney Company. Good for you, Jimmy Fallon. Says the Walt Disney Company and Lucasfilm are pleased to announce that we have reached an agreement with Gina Carano to resolve the issues in her pending lawsuit against the companies. Ms. Carano was always well-respected by her directors, co-stars, and staff, and she worked hard to perfect her craft while treating her colleagues with kindness and respect. With this lawsuit concluded, we look forward to identifying opportunities to work together with Ms. Carano in the near future. So not only stating that we have settled, money has been exchanged, whatever it may be, going so far, so boldly to say she treated everyone with respect, pretty much we had nothing to, we shouldn't have done this.
We had no basis for
this. Yeah. And by the way, we're going to be hiring her soon. And she put out a statement. Remember, her funding for this case was backed by Elon Musk, by X. She put out a whole statement thanking Elon Musk, thanking X, humble and grateful to God for his love and grace in this outcome. I'd like to thank you all for your unrelenting support. She wants to remain in the arts, which hopes people will join her, which also is telling her people, I feel like, saying, hey, yeah, I may have done a deal with Disney, because you're going to see Gina Carano return in some way. Maybe not Star Wars, but there's something else. I think we should keep this conversation going as we head into the next segment, because there's also so much more. This is the tip of the iceberg of the tide changing, and you need to be a part of it. And I'm thankful to people like our audience who listen to this show every day, who watch this show every day, depending on who listen on radio, whether you're watching on Salem News Channel, whether you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, wherever it is, because you are really not only stirring the pot, but are creating that tide that's going to turn. And look, I'm not saying it has to turn towards conservatives. What I want it to do is turn towards just Americans. Be supportive of everybody. Keep your entertainment entertainment. But that's why we're here for you with the ACLJ in our 35 years 35 years of victory. Can you believe that? I'm about to turn 40. I've been doing this since I was 5 years old. I've been part of this. You need to be a part of it as well. Scan the QR code on your screen or go to ACLJ.org. Make your donation. Second half hour is coming up. Find us broadcasting live on ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Second half hour of Seculo coming at you right now. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We are talking about the DOJ opening a grand jury investigation likely into Letitia James. And we're also talking about the media's massive backpedaling as we saw Greg Gutfeld appear on NBC, not just NBC, not the news, what? The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Had him on as a guest just last night. Of course, this after the fallout from Stephen Colbert. And we have the Walt Disney Company this morning announcing a settlement with Gina Carano. And not just a, we have paid her off, we've decided to end this. One that is so glowing that says, essentially, we're looking for new projects to work together. And I believe that those deals may have been close or maybe even done. This happens, Will, a lot in the media. We were listening today. I played you a clip on a podcast from Bob Pittman, who is currently the CEO of iHeart. Before that, he was one of the founders of MTV. He is one of the guys behind AOL Time Warner. I mean, he's been a high level executive for decades upon decades. And he's like, so much of our content should be driven a lot by research. He goes, the big thing we do, and this is paraphrasing, this was on Rick Rubin's podcast, Treacher Grammaton. And he said, a big part of what we should be doing is looking at the research. And the research is telling us that we are intentionally missing out on 80% of the country by not talking about faith and not talking about the military. Two things that most Americans, 80% of Americans, have an affinity for. He says, if I bring it up at a meeting, essentially in Hollywood, is what he said, or in the entertainment industry, they will throw me out of a meeting. And he is one of the highest level executives.
Well, once again, it's why the Top Gun sequel did so well, because it was playing to what the majority of the country wants. But we went and saw the new Fantastic Four movie, which is obviously a Marvel film Disney. Owned by Disney.
Yep.
And an entire plot line, not to give spoilers away if you're you haven't seen it yet, but there's an entire plot line where
it's the main plot line.
The lead female character, Miss Fantastic, Sue Storm.
The Invisible Woman.
Right. She is pregnant with the first child of she and Mr. Fantastic.
That's the first scene of the movie, so you know that.
Much away. But what is remarkable about that and what they show in this film was, I don't know if they wanted it to be this or even if they thought about this, but it was one of the most beautiful pro-life messages.
Yeah.
And they were concerned because if you don't know about the Fantastic Four, they were exposed to cosmic radiation. They have genetic mutations that occurred from that. And they were concerned if there would be genetic mutations in their child. Yeah. And there's a line of dialogue where they're talking about this and the scientist father is running all these tests to make sure nothing's wrong with his baby. And they have this conversation where the mother says, like, he will be perfect. Yeah. There is nothing wrong with him, even if there is something genetically different.
We'll deal with it. Yeah.
That is something that the left fights.
She does
fights
an ultrasound on herself.
Right, on herself, because she's an invisible woman. I don't know if you know
this. It's one of the more striking visuals I've ever seen in a movie. And I mean that.
All at the same time, while organizations like Planned Parenthood are fighting across this country to make sure you cannot see an ultrasound, because they don't want you to see the humanity of the baby, a blockbuster film that's produced by Disney, superhero film, has one of the most beautiful pro-life messages that I've seen in film in a long time.
Someone had to have seen it the way we saw it.
Right.
And I believe that. And I believe people are looking at it through different lenses and going, you know what? Stop pushing all of this. Appeal to the masses. Because the masses are not, even if they are, look, you can't say Greg Gutfeld is to the masses. I would say he's pretty much to the exclusive Fox News crowd if you go and watch his show.
Right.
His show is not bipartisan by any means. However, it's appealing to a large group of America that is disenfranchised with what the mainstream media has presented them. And how do you do that? You welcome them aboard. Look who's on. I told you about that, Bob Pittman. Look who's on the iHeartRadio network. It is a pretty sprawling amount of people. Why? Because they are actually trying to keep their business afloat by appealing to the masses. Pretty interesting interview. Pretty interesting time in media. I'm excited. I genuinely am. We saw the movie Sketch, which is pretty much a family movie about trauma and death. And it's a really sweet and sad movie. It had a over $2 million, I believe, opening day on a Wednesday. That's Angel Studios' latest release. Okay, that movie is made by some of our friends, and it's that would never have happened without major pushes from everyone. We'll be right back with Mike Pompeo joining us, and then we'll wrap up with your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. Secular, we didn't want to leave this show also without addressing some of the breaking news that happened overnight as Israel's Security Cabinet approved Benjamin Netanyahu's proposal to occupy Gaza permanently. In short, Will, that has a pretty long list of what it is, but let's just go through it. The actual big number one is that they will be controlling Gaza.
That's right. So the objectives here are to disarm Hamas, return all the hostages dead or alive, demilitarize the Gaza Strip, maintain full Israeli security control over Gaza, and then ultimately establish an alternative civilian government that is neither Hamas nor the Palestinian Authority. They're looking to other partners in the region to move forward with this. And we are joined right now by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs here at ACLJ.
Yeah, one of the founders of the Abraham Accords, so the biggest move that's happened in for the state of Israel in our lifetime, probably.
That's right. And so we wanted to get your take on this now that the Israeli Security Cabinet has blessed this plan by Prime Minister Netanyahu. Is this the right call? Is this the right thing to be doing at this time?
You know, I always think about this from America's perspective. For us, this is absolutely the right thing. Americans will be safer. The Middle East is more likely to be prosperous and peaceful, and that's good. We'll send a few of our kids to be in that place where we have lost so much. So I checked the box for America. For Israel, I think this is a necessity. I think it's something they've been working on, frankly, since about October 7th. They knew in their heart of hearts that they could never allow Hamas to continue, and certainly not Hamas with weapons. And so you see they're going to take all the weapons out. They're going to demilitarize it. You know, it's also very clear that Prime Minister Netanyahu knows this is hard, and his military, the IDF, right? They were reluctant to do this too. It won't be easy to take Gaza City. Hamas won't go quietly, no doubt about that. But they know this is a necessity, and they are waiting for the day when there is a peaceful civilian government there. They'll still have security from Israel, but that they can turn governance of this place back over to the people who live there without the risk of terror to Israel.
So a follow-up question to that. Obviously, this is really, we've known Hamas has to be gotten rid of in the Gaza Strip and on the face of the earth. There's no place for Hamas in this world. But the fact that they are doing this now, choosing to do this now, all eyes are going to be on Israel, always have been whenever they do anything to defend themselves. But why now and not years ago? Do you think it has to do with the American government's posture towards them, or it's just the necessity at this time?
So I think it's a little of each. There's no doubt that this would have been harder to do with a Biden administration who was not willing to do the things that were necessary to secure America. So I think that's definitely true. But what happened on October 7th just was a game changer for them. They'd had a model where Hamas was able to do its thing. They didn't present a lot of risk to Israel. They received some money from friendly groups, and everybody kind of understood this is the deal. Israel had backed out in 2006. And now they know this is no longer tenable. They know that, you know, and by the way, for the last 2 years, I think there's been this vague hope that somehow Hamas would collapse and it would give up, but they didn't. And they're still holding 50 hostages, 20 some of which are still likely alive. And so I think the Israelis finally have said, okay, it's time. We got to go. We've tried every possible avenue to do what we need to do for our country without having to go retake this place. Now we know this is the only option available, and we're going to go execute it vigorously.
Yeah, it also seems like, Secretary Pompeo, that some of the neighbors, some of the Arab neighbors, are suddenly stepping in to help, say they want to help. What does that look like for the governing problems that have been in Gaza before? Because if you have to move people out and get people resettled, what does that look like? And also, what took them so long? Why now are they now agreeing to this moment?
So some of them, I know this history so well, some of them have tried before and they failed. By the way, not just in Gaza, not just in Judea and Samaria, but in Lebanon, in Syria, in Yemen. And it's just been impossible. And I think a lot of the Gulf Arab states just kind of had thrown their hands up. But now they can see there's an opportunity. There's a new sheriff in the United States. There's leadership in Israel that knows what it needs to do. And now I think they can with the pain that's been inflicted on the Islamic Republic of Iran and the decimation of its proxy forces, there's a chance to invest and build and actually achieve something which would be so amazing for the region. Bring all of these countries to modernity in the same way that the Abraham Accords evidenced the desire of the Emiratis and the Saudis and others to move towards modern times as well.
Well, and I wanted to bring that up. You mentioned the decimation of the Iranians, and we are so fortunate here at the ACLJ to have you on about topics like these, because you are a wealth of knowledge, and we could talk for hours about it. But the fact also that the Trump administration took those steps to do a preemptive strike on the nuclear facilities, and seeing what Israel also did to the proxy groups. Those proxy groups weren't just a threat to Israel. They were a threat to many of the neighbors of the Gulf Arab states that were in conflict with Iran as well. Do you think that they're seeing a little bit of freedom now, knowing that the radical mullahs in Iran's grip on power, and even maybe even with people that are within those neighboring states that would support a more Iranian-style regime, do you think that gives a little bit more freedom to the leadership of those Gulf Arab states with a weakened Iran in that region?
100%. And having President Trump in office doubles down on that. Let's be clear. They know now they can take some risks. They can make some investments in those places, trying to build up Syria, trying to create a structure. They're trying to push back against the remnants of ISIS that still remain. They know they can do that. And if there's a tough day for them, they know that the United States will stand with them. And you couldn't have done the Abraham Accords without the remarkable leadership that was in place in Trump's first administration. In the same way, I think the Israelis would have been much more reluctant to do what they announced last night without an administration that they knew would be supportive of their efforts. The United States plays a huge role here. We've provided munitions and weapon systems and encouragement and intelligence. All of those things have enabled the pushback against Iran that's been achieved. And we ought not, for America's sake, we ought not lose this moment.
I want to pivot a little bit, Secretary Pompeo, and discuss the updates that are going on with Russia and Ukraine. We have seen now President Trump make some pretty serious moves towards a meeting with both President Zelensky and Vladimir Putin. They said that could be as early as next week. We did see some movement in Russia specifically, where it looks like this could be headed in the right direction. However, you never know with Russia. It seems like there's been a lot of these discussions. It feels like we've been on this yard line, whatever this way may be, whether this is the 20-yard line or the 10-yard line, multiple times to potentially wrap up this war and to end this war. And I know President Trump, one of his early campaign promises was saying, hey, not only would this never happen, but I'm going to get it taken care of early. I think he's seeing that obviously Vladimir Putin is even a much different guy than he was in the Biden administration, before his administration, his previous administration, than he is now after a Biden administration empowered them. Where do you think we are right now? Do you think getting in the room with these two is going to cause some movement positively?
Oh, goodness. Let me take those two questions in sequence. I think you heard the optimism in my voice in the Middle East. I'm much less optimistic here. I just think Vladimir Putin is stuck on stupid and going to continue to remain recalcitrant and is unlikely to actually conduct a ceasefire. Or what he really needs to do is stand down and create a long-term peace structure there. I think he's not there yet. He's not ready. There's not been enough pain inflicted. He'll play out as long as he can. The second question is, I think it's very useful for President Trump to meet with President Putin, just as he's met with Zelensky now more than once. He ought to continue to meet with our European allies who have the biggest burden here. We need to get this right. A ceasefire is necessary. It's not sufficient, but I'm hopeful President Trump can convince Putin that you can't just keep throwing missiles at civilians and get away with this. We're going to impose real costs on you. And when he understands that and when he feels it, there's an opportunity for President Trump to achieve his objective.
Secretary Pompeo, thank you for joining us as always each week here on Secula. We always appreciate your insights. As someone who has been in those rooms, it's always important to hear from people who have actually been involved in what's been going on a world scale, operations like you have. So I appreciate you always taking a little bit of time to explain to our audience what is going on. Now, in the next segment, I want to hear from you. We've now heard from Secretary Mike Pompeo. Now let's hear from the most important voice in the room, and that's always you. 1-800-684-3110. We have a couple calls that are already lined up. Stay on hold. I know some of you have been on hold for nearly a half an hour. Stay on hold. I will get to you coming up. But again, phone lines are open for you. And whether you want to talk about what we did with Secretary Pompeo, Israel, whether you want to go back and talk about Letitia James, or if you want to talk about the media, The media is backpedaling, or maybe you could say the media is frontpedaling. Hmm. The media actually peddling towards middle America, actually moving towards being an entertainment hub once again. One of our best exports, one of the best exports of the United States is our entertainment. It's hard to compete with specifically our Hollywood, with the feature film industry. So we're able to impact that and move that forward and show what it is, and the box office doesn't lie. So with that, I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. It's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today as we are now, well, many days into our 35 years. 8 days in. 35 years of Victory Drive. That's right. You see the gold emblazoned logo right now? I'm going to ask you if you can. And if you've been watching this show for a while, if you've been supporting the work of the ACLJ for a while, you like what we do, you like we're able to provide this without a paywall, it's really easy to support. Scan the QR code, any level, you can make a donation. It'll be doubled this month as we have incredible donors and champions ready to unlock a donation as soon as it's made. That's why we need your support today. Because you can have the same level of lawyers that represent the President of the United States represent you at any time and at no cost. But that's because of people like you who stand up and support. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. It's time to hear from you. And we got a few lines open at 1-800-684-3110. Great time to call in. I'll say it a little slower for you. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Deborah in Alabama, who's been on hold for over half an hour, and I appreciate that. 30 minutes and 15 seconds. Well, Deborah, go ahead.
To get back on that topic we were talking about, Letitia.
Yeah, Letitia James.
I really feel, with her being an attorney, she gets rid of a certain level of civil rights in the respect that she can't use the term, I didn't understand, I don't know the law, I can't be penalized for something I didn't know. And when she did what she did on her house loans, she really can't claim she just didn't understand. But the other thing I'd like to see us go after, not just the criminal aspect, but I'd like us to go after her ethically. I mean, she's got to swear an oath. Our politicians do that. Our judges, all of them do that. And ethics has teeth. And I would like to see that they go after both her for criminal problems coupled with the ethics.
Well, and Deborah, it's interesting you bring that up as well. But I think the job of the Department of Justice is to go after her legally and make sure that that lawfare doesn't take place again. But I hear what you're saying. And yes, and everyone could have seen that she was politically motivated by her statements, what she ended up doing, that she was using her position for political points, to score political points with a base. By the way, she ran by saying, I will get Trump, and then after an office of using that position of authority to go after him, indeed. But there is a little bit of an update on this story. So Laura Ingraham and Peter Ducey are both reporting that sources within the DOJ are telling them that Ed Martin will be the special prosecutor overseeing the Letitia James and Adam Schiff mortgage fraud investigations. Adam Schiff, there are reports that he also had something similar, using other addresses as primary residence to get more favorable loan terms, and that the DOJ has, at least through these sources, are saying Ed Martin will be a special prosecutor in that case. He has been a United States pardon attorney under President Trump currently, so he's within the DOJ, but he is someone who has been a former U.S. attorney and had many other U.S. official positions. He was the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia early in this before Jeanine Pirro took over. So someone that's already within the Justice Department working there will be who, according to these reports, will be overseeing that side of the investigation into the mortgage fraud or misstatement investigations into both Adam Schiff and Letitia James. So it does seem like the Department of Justice is taking this seriously.
All right. Thanks for calling, Deborah. I want to go to Ronald now in South Carolina. And hey, this is probably last call for the week. If you want to be on the air, You call in right now and you may be able to make it. 1-800-684-3110. I'd love to hear from you. If you're watching on YouTube right now, make sure you subscribe. You can also call in. Ronald, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, about you were saying about many of these industries, Disney and Fallon and others who are now kind of seeing the light a bit under harsh criticism of conservatives and Trump and so forth. And now it seems as though they are now getting the blindness taken away and are now starting. And I think it's probably the Lord's will that their hearts just prick to see that, hey, why on earth are we so hard on this group? They actually voted this president in twice. There's got to be some reason for this, and they have to kind of
the same time by the popular vote, Ronald. I mean, here's the deal. I do believe that you're right. This is all timing and God's timing. And look, I think President Trump is fair game, as every president is, to you know take jokes and make fun parodies and do everything you can. It's okay. That's why we have the freedom of speech that we have. It's why we have the ability to parody. It's why we have the ability and always have had that in journalism. I am totally fine with it. In fact, I am supportive of it for all politicians to be taken down a peg occasionally by comedians, by commentators, because they need it. Because the egos get a little out of control. However, when you start attacking the people, and I'm not talking about the people Donald Trump, I'm talking about the people who are just normal Americans who happen to vote one way differently than you. They may not even like Donald Trump as a person. They may not even care. By the way, likely they don't. 11 months out of the year, you know what? No, I'm going to say this. Three and a half years out of four, they don't care about what's going on. As long as their family is fed, they're taken care of, they got a good job, that's what they're worried about, and the entertainment they can watch is fun to take a break for the day. It's when you've now moved that into all forms of media, where you even the stuff that was safe to just watch and enjoy and relax before bed becomes being preached at, and being preached at that you're not only wrong, but that you are the devil, that's got to stop. And I think the mainstream media is seeing that. I mean, I cannot express how big of a deal it is that not only did Greg Gutfeld go on, but was treated with such respect, and that this statement from Disney. I mean, both of those are just, wow, that statement from Disney, not only saying we've settled our lawsuit with Gina Carano, but is saying we are welcoming essentially her back in with open arms. And you know, we did something, essentially apologizing.
Right. Well, and Logan, to that point as well, I saw a comment on here on YouTube earlier that said, you know, don't believe them. They're only doing this because of the numbers and the money. Well, right. But what the problem is, they weren't doing it because of the numbers and the money for so long. It's like, I don't necessarily think that they it was as much about Donald Trump as they took too seriously when Hillary Clinton called conservatives the basket of deplorables, right? They took that and ran with it for a decade now and decided that these people aren't worthy of us making something for them, even though people that relate in some way to family values, faith, conservatism, even if you're a more just, I don't even care, I'm just kind of a leave me alone kind of person, but that's a more conservative mindset these days, which sounds bizarre to even
politics
think.
Politics doesn't invade every inch of your soul.
And they went after that entire group of people and say, we're not making things for them. And instead, if they want to watch our stuff, they're going to have to be subject to what we want them to hear. They made their entertainment activism, and they forgot to look at the data and the numbers and their revenue, and they all suffered for a very long time. So I agree with you, viewer on YouTube. Yeah, it is all about the numbers and the money, but they're a business. That's what it should have been the entire time.
It should be the data. The data is what should drive this. Okay, they're not a ministry. They're not a political action committee. They are NBC. They are ABC. They are the Walt Disney Company. Okay, this is not where you're supposed to be turning to for your politics. Again, I think this is a big move. I think we're going to stay watching this because I think you're going to see major changes. And you're going to see a breath of fresh air in media, and I hope so. Unfortunately, James, we're not going to be able to get to you today. Let's make sure James gets held over for next week. We'll do our best to get to you early on next week. I did want to take this last minute of the show and really tell you, it is the last day of our first week here on the ACLJ's 35 years of victory drive. Your donations are doubled right now at ACLJ.org. We'll give me a number. It was something of close to 900.
We had over 800 different cases and legal matters just in the past year.
Think about that as work days and how many, that's new. That's exclusive legal actions that had to take place. So imagine that daily, the amount of team, the amount of lawyers you have to have, the amount of media team you have to have, people to just send an email and pick up the phone. This is a massive, massive undertaking. And we want to be there for you when you need help as well. And we want to make sure this show continues. That's just as important. Make sure voices are being heard. So I'm going to ask you to think about it, pray about it, and if you can, go to ACLJ.org right now, scan the QR code. Your donation will be doubled through the month of August. Talk to you on Monday.